I told Angela too, my brother, he died in 1943. He had a brain hemorrhage. But before, maybe a year before, he was still in school. He liked American records, you know, and they had sort of a little group of friends from their school where they played those, that music. And somebody reported them that they do that, you know. And then they arrested him, my brother, and some other friends. And for 3 weekends, they had to be in jail, you know. And I know somebody came over to our house, and my mother was there, and they wanted to see his room, you know. Mm-hmm. So what I know Angela asked me too, what, how was he when he came back? I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I mean, I don't remember how he left and when it happened, and when he came back, I have no idea. I have a very good memory for a lot of things, but I just don't know that. Eh? Mm. And that was maybe in 1942, and then in 1943 he died. He had a brain hemorrhage, you know. That was probably a medical reason, you know. I talked to my doctor at that time. Maybe the veins were too thin, or I mean, maybe that was the reason, you know. He had 2 hemorrhages, and the second time he died, you know.
So what was the first time that the two of you heard about that, or heard that story?
About her brother?
Yes, about the brother.
No, okay, well, we see, that's, I don't remember for you, but for me, I've always known about...
Yeah, it's not like I was ever told these things. You just, like, you're a kid and your parents, your mom is talking to your grandmother, and, like, you just put it together. Like, no one ever, like, sat me down and, like, told me about this. But just, like, over the years, I sort of, like, I knew he was in jail, and I knew that he had been taken in that manner, and then that he had died. And it's just, yeah, like, it's not from, I mean, I was old enough to remember, so I was at least... 4 or 5, because it was, I knew already before, when we were still living in Winnipeg, and we moved to New Brunswick when I was 6, so I was at least, like, around 4 by the time I, like, consciously was aware of it.
Mm-hmm. And did you know why he was taken? Why he was put
into prison? I didn't know the story about the records. I just knew there had, like, it had been, like, he did something that, like, the Nazis didn't like, and that he was in jail.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, and they told me that there was a movie, but the same story. It's called
Swing Kids.
I never saw it, but my children told me about it, and the story is the same. They loved that music.
That was the first time that I heard about that it was kind of a bigger thing than, you know, I mean, I had always heard that that your brother was arrested. I remember, didn't he have a... No, he didn't have a saxophone. He had...
He had a saxophone. But he had lessons, but he...
And I mean, that sort of brought it to mind when I saw the movie. But I think, I mean, in some ways, I remember growing up, and you hear little pieces, and you hear sort of a little bit more of the picture, a little bit more of the picture, and a little more of the picture.
Little pieces.
And things like... the picture of my uncle, you know, your brother, has always been, I mean, you have a picture, his picture in your room, I think.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, I have it on the...
And so, you know, as a young child, you say, who's that? You know, well, that's my brother, he died. Then you hear a little bit more of the story, I do remember, though, being in elementary school, and I've heard the stories about the war and your brother and the Nazis. I've heard them all my life. Then I heard them in school. And then it was different. Then it felt like it was kind of weird hearing them talk about these historical things. These are parts of history. And, well, yeah, I know, because I've heard about this from you all my life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize the rest of the world knew about it.
Yeah, because at first, when you're little, the way you think it about most things, you think this happened to my family, not everywhere. And then often, like...
You might give me something to drink.
You very want some, like, your Perrier water?
Yeah.
Broad, you know, elementary school style history class, or like even like in junior high, like the, you just like kind of a very brief one-sided, like, you know, the Nazis were German and the Germans were bad and like that kind of thing. And I would always feel like a little bit like on behalf of my grandmother, like it was more complicated. Mm-hmm. It seemed like that lots of people, and so that would be a part of me, like more than like that I always felt personally guilty about it, I would always actually kind of feel a little bit.
Oh, there he is.
Like there was, yeah, and like that picture is one of your young memories,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah, it's almost, he was 17 when he died, you know?
The thing that I remember though too, when I had this kind of sense, okay, this is, you know, in elementary school, the whole, this was a part of history and, you know, the rest of the world knows about this. Then I was a little embarrassed about being German.
Because
I didn't feel embarrassed, even though I had a sense that you had a sense of shame about what your country did and all those kinds of things. I didn't feel that way, but all of a sudden I felt like I don't think I want them to everybody
well,
to know I'm German.
I had the opposite reaction immediately of like being like, no, I'm German. German people aren't like that. My grandmother was there. She wasn't like that. It wasn't everyone just who didn't care. Yeah. And I think that's just maybe like a part of my personality of just like...
Well, true. And I mean, also
being
you were...
ready to defend. Yeah. Like, and I think maybe there was the influence of like the other side of my family too, that just kind of like Schultz like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So was Willy, the brother, was he actively resisting the Nazis?
I don't know. Would you
say? No, he wasn't. He was at the age he had to join the Hitler Youth, you know.
I knew the picture there.
But because he had that age and they were forced to do that, mm-hmm. It's the same with my sister. She had BDM, that was the Bund Deutscher Mädchen. Mm-hmm. I was too old. I mean, I was maybe 1 year older and I didn't have to go or join them. So if I didn't want to, I never did. But I mean, that was the year I could make up my mind. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. Mm-hmm. But my brother and my sister, they both had to join that Hitler youth, you know, and wear the uniform.
And I guess that's maybe part of it. It just like always really feeling like my family were also victims of this, and that the German people
were also victims
of what happened. And like obviously, like. Mm.
Can you explain that?
Well, like, just the sense of, like, Oma always having that idea that there was just things were happening and people were being forced to do things that they didn't even have enough of the picture to know how to resist or, you know, and just, like, obviously you don't want to, like, say that there are excuses because, you know, you ignore what is happening and then people kill everyone, but... I don't know, just that kind of how hopeless it seemed and how guilty Oma like was about it. And just I didn't feel like she had like carelessly stood by and like, you know, knew it was happening sort of, but just couldn't be bothered. It wasn't that way at all. It was just this kind of like futile feeling of like wanting to change it and wanting it to not be happening, but to be, you know, a 17-year-old boy or...
Well, and the constant balance. Like, I feel like the stories that you've told, Mama, are about trying to balance not saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. You talked about how teachers in school would say to kids, if you hear your parents saying something bad about the Nazis or against Hitler, you have to report your parents. That was always, you know, kind of a freaky thing.
Like, imagine being a child in that situation.
Well, yeah, being, you know? But